Welcome to Thursday. The Sports Machine with Slim. We played that NBA preview show yesterday that me and the Pistol did a month and change ago, and I listened to it. Interesting to see how things have played out since we taped that over a month ago. And interesting to hear how we were thinking then versus how we're thinking now. I'll talk NBA basketball probably a bunch today because the Bruins have the day off. And I did hear an interview on the way in with Mike Milbury. Love to listen to him, actually, on WEEI. Greg Hill goes on there once a week. I will say that, once again, I find myself a little bit stupefied as to why Mike Milbury feels the way that he does. But he's a non-believer in this team. Unfortunately, he's on the sideline, and we'll see if that costs him some enjoyment during the season, or during the playoffs, or maybe it even will make it more exciting to him. Maybe it'll be like the pleasant surprise of discovering how tough this Bruins is, and the fact that he had no clue what he was talking about. Maybe that will be, you know, a reason to be more enjoyed by the success that the Bruins team is most definitely going to have in the playoff run. It's like just so definite. Mike Milbury's hardcore lifer NHL guy. Why can't he see it? I can see it. I don't know why he can't see it. He's on the show this morning. They're talking about like how the Bruins so-called got like thoroughly outplayed against Carolina on Tuesday night, and I didn't have a chance to talk about it yesterday because we didn't have the live show. But if you watch that game, Trent Frederick had like five legit scoring chances, and they just didn't go in. The goals that Carolina scored, that one, what do they call this, the Michigan play or whatever, with a kid from Michigan back in the day, you get it up on your stick and just keep it on your stick, move it around the net, and boom, into the top corner. Swayman said that's the first time it's been done against him, and I saw in a post-game interview, he's like, I had a goal that would never get done against me, so I'm going to have to practice. That, I mean, that just, listen, when somebody does that to you in a game, it's not your night. They scored, what, four goals? I think Carolina ended up beating the Bruins 4-1. If you watch the game, I think the first goal was contested. I think the second one was that Michiganer play, which was just stupid, ridiculous, awesome, honestly. The third goal, Swayman had stopped, and then who put it in? I forget who the heck was that like, our own guy ended up putting it into the net. And then the fourth one, I think it was Zaka, totally turned the puck over. Oh yeah, it was him, and then he put it in. Right, it was that third one. So whatever, they scored goals. Carolina got lucky, we didn't, and Carolina wins the game. When you win like your last two or three games against good teams, as the Bruins had heading into that game, they had beaten Carolina the week before, they had beaten Florida twice in the last week and change, they had beaten Nashville. Like eventually, you're gonna lose a game. What do you think? You're going to go through the playoffs 16-0? This is insanity. So you're going to jump on the one game where they got unlucky? They didn't get outclassed. You watching, dudes? I don't think those people are really watching these games. I think they're just like tuning in for a little bit and then turning over to watch Deal or No Deal Island, which I don't blame you. It is a good show, and you're probably watching reruns, so there's plenty of time to take up with that. I will say, with the day off yesterday, the big news for me was signing Drew Holiday to a four-year extension, $135 million. And the timing of that coming about yesterday, a little bit interesting, don't you think? I've got a theory as to why that happened yesterday, and I'm going to circle it here in my notebook, and I'm going to put segment two. We're going to talk about that Drew Holiday contract, and I'm going to tell you it's bad news for Jaylen Brown and his career with the Celtics. Is all I'm going to tell you. And I'll explain to you exactly why. It's good news for Celtics fans. Drew Holiday, proven playoff winner. We need him to know that his position within the team is secured moving into these playoffs. I'm not usually a fan of giving a guy a contract mid-season. In fact, I'm 90-something percent totally against it. You just don't do that. But in this situation, I am all for it. I love Drew Holiday. I want him here long term. And the messaging that it sends to the rest of the team, I'll dive into that here in segment two. I will say one other big piece of news. I do like to consider myself to be somewhat cutting edge on a variety of topics, definitely in the sports world. Sometimes my takes maybe don't turn out to be right, but they can be aggressive, and I can make a case for them. So somebody listening will go, oh, yeah, yeah, no, that sounds right. Like I have with the Bruins all year long here. Like I have with the 76ers. The 76ers have Joel Embiid back, and their team, you don't want to play against the 76ers. I'm just telling you right now. Celtics don't want to. I'm cool with it because I don't think the Celtics are going to win it all. I hope the Celtics are going to win it all. So whoever we're going to play, let's play. Let's do it. But as far as being cutting edge and thinking a step or two ahead, I will just say, people, the news of the day tomorrow, maybe over the weekend, or most certainly I would say by Monday. And the reason I want to bring this up is just from a financial standpoint, if you're a heavy investor, you know, I'm not here to give you financial advice, but you might want to put some money on the sidelines. You might want to cash out just a little bit today, just something to consider. The fact that I think it is highly likely that war is going to be breaking out between Iran and Israel over the next couple of days directly. And Biden yesterday made a statement to really, you know, get out in front of this or let people know that the United States is going to be heavily, heavily backing Israel. We know inside the country there's turmoil over that stance. I'm not here to give an opinion either way on that. But for people that don't know, about 10 days ago, Israel bombed the Iranian consulate in Syria, and they killed, I think, 11 or 12 people, and Iran said, we're going to respond. And they haven't yet, but it was the middle of Ramadan. And Ramadan came at an end, I think, Tuesday. And then yesterday was a big holy day in the Muslim religion. And I forget the name of it. I can read it here. But yesterday, people don't know this, I'd imagine, but Israel bombed and killed three kids of Hamas's leader and four grandchildren of Hamas's leader. And so this is something that obviously intentional and trying to get a response from Iran. That seems to be pretty obvious at this point that Israel wants direct conflict with Iran and wants to grow it into a regional war. People's opinions on this can go in whatever direction you want. I know this has nothing to do with sports, but I'm just telling you, it's going to be dominating the news stories in like 3 to 4 days, if not tomorrow. If you put yourself in Iran's shoes, you're not going to respond during Ramadan. You're not going to do it on the holy day at the end of Ramadan, which is all about like celebration. You can't, not only can you not fast anymore on this day, yesterday, which I'm going to try and find the name of what that day, Eid something or other, but you can not only not fast, you like have to eat, you have to celebrate, or it's a sin against the religion. And everybody's got their own thoughts on this stuff, and hey, whatever you want to believe is totally fine. But when Israel kills, you know, seven direct members of Hamas's leader, that's probably going to get a response. And, what I will say is the leader of Hamas, Haniyeh is the last name, says, the enemy will be delusional if it thinks that targeting my sons at the climax of the ceasefire negotiations and before the movement sends its response will push Hamas to change its position, he told Al Jazeera. In comments reported on Hamas's Telegram channel, he thanked God for the honor bestowed on him by what he called the martyrdom of his children and grandchildren. And he goes on to say in this article I read that his children, they're all his children. His children he doesn't look at any differently from all the Muslims within his community. So that just tells you the mindset of the leader, and that type of person is going to respond. And I just pray that when that response happens that there's not going to be a waterfall effect, because Israel and Iran war breaks out, United States gets involved, that border's been wide open for years. And there's tens of thousands of people in this country that will have no problem doing harm. If this leader of Hamas doesn't look at the killing of his three kids and four grandchildren in any way different than everyone, you think the tens of thousands of people that are in this country illegally, do you think they care about what happens to them and or their family? probably an important take, something to consider from the financial side of things. If war breaks out, I just remember in the past, usually stock market assets seem to get crushed a little bit, at least in the near term. Long term, goes back up. Let's talk sports when we come back. WKXL, this is the Sports Machine with Slim going political for a little bit. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire, talkradio.com. Jaylen Brown and Jrue Holiday. Let's talk about what the future holds for the Celtics and the both of them. Did you watch the game Tuesday night against the Bucks? I mean, I was mostly watching the Bruins, honestly. I just like to watch hockey now more. I like to watch the Bruins play more than the Celtics, which is kind of insane because my entire life has been the Celtics all the time. But NBA basketball has just changed so much through the years. It's tough to really get invested in these guys when they just complain so much to the refs. We didn't complain very much Tuesday night, though. I liked what I saw from the Celtics on the complaining side. And there were a lot of positives, actually, to take away from that game against the Bucks, because the Bucks came to play, baby. They were all kinds of jacked up. They had lost four games in a row. You're the Bucks. You got Doc Rivers. You see, this is a big game. You need to protect your home court against the Celtics, and this is kind of your, like, get right game, get ready for the playoffs. Go out, beat the Celtics at home. Let's go. And then, hey, let's go into the playoffs. It's coming up next week, people, next weekend. But the fact that the Bucks came out on fire, and if you saw Brook Lopez, oh my gosh, 5 for 7 from three, but he had like 4 threes in the first 5 minutes. Xavier Tillman was guarding him, helping out a lot. I think the strategy was, okay, let Lopez shoot. And I'm fine with that strategy. But you look at halftime, I wrote it down in my notebook, and the Celtics were down, I think, 63 to 50 at halftime. Maybe it was 49, but the Bucks only had 63 points. And I went on social media, and I'm like, listen, you guys, you had Patrick Beverley making like a hook shot. I think he had 2 threes. He may have had just one in the first half, but you had Bobby Portis doing this ridiculous one way, other way, left-handed hook shot, and you had Brook Lopez hitting 5 threes in that first half. And Milwaukee only scored 63 points. And I'm like, dude, the Celtics score 63 points and a half on the regular. Like, we're going to score 63 and a half against Milwaukee plenty of times if we play them in a 7-game series. We just are. It's that simple. The Celtics can score. Milwaukee was out of their mind, unconscious, and only put up 63. And for the whole game, Milwaukee scored 104 points. They scored 41 points in the second half. Now, yes, Giannis goes out. He goes out and he's injured. Non-contact injury. Why does that happen? Well, probably because Doc Rivers has been riding them like a mule. Like I said here last week on the show, it might have been actually Monday or Tuesday, where I said out of their last 10 games, Giannis has led them in scoring, rebounding, and assists. I think it was 5 times or it was 4 times out of their previous 7 games. I'm like, they're riding this guy, play harder. Well, look at what happens. It's like, it ain't this hard to figure out. And Doc Rivers isn't, nobody's going to like directly blame him for the injury, and I'm not either. But it's just like, dude, you can only push and put stress on something so long, and then something breaks. And guess what? That's what happened. Giannis is now out for the regular season. We'll see if he's coming back for the first game of the playoffs, but I'm telling you right now, if Milwaukee matches up against the 76ers, Milwaukee is going home in the first round. And there's a high likelihood as well that if Milwaukee ends up playing Miami, I'd tell you Milwaukee's going home as well. I don't know for certain, on that end. But the 76ers will beat Milwaukee if they play each other in the playoffs. I don't care if Giannis is healthy or not. The 76ers will beat Milwaukee. That's like as sure as a guarantee as what I gave you the other day with UConn beating up on Purdue. The 76ers will take Milwaukee out easily. Things are turning the right way for the 76ers. Embiid comes back. Remember when he first got hurt a couple months ago? He might have been out for the playoffs. There was talk of that. Nobody knew when he was going to be able to come back. Well, now he's come back. He's putting up like 27, 28 a game, working his way in, and the 76ers winning every game. The 76ers are no joke if you get Joel Embiid, who's quite possibly the best player in the NBA. You get him back, rocking and rolling. He's a problem. He is a problem for the Celtics, too, because I'm not sure who we're going to have defend him. Xavier Tillman can try. Al Horford can try. They can't stop him. I know people say, oh, you know, Horford does great against them. Okay. Let's see when Nick Nurse is the coach. Because Nick Nurse knows how to coach X's and O's a lot better than Doc Rivers does. We've been going against Embiid when he was being coached by Doc Rivers. There's a difference when you have a coach that actually knows what to do and make adjustments. Speaking of adjustments, Celtics, if by chance they don't get to the finals this year, there's going to be some big adjustments on this team. And Jaylen Brown's going to be at the heart of it. And I hate saying this because I like Jaylen Brown. I like his messaging. I, for the most part, like the way he conducts himself. The piece I don't like is like he's looking, he'll dunk and he'll celebrate this big dunk after he just missed like three or four possessions in a row, just like missed shots. And I'm going to track what this guy's done in the quote unquote big games so far this year. I'm going to go through the schedule at the next commercial break. But I will tell you, Tuesday night against the Bucks, Jaylen Brown was 7 for 19, 0 for 6 from 3, 5 turnovers. He was pathetic. He was horrible. And it's not a coincidence that the very next day, Jrue Holiday signs a 4-year, $135 million contract. It's just not. Because what's the issue with the Celtics? We've talked about it. End-of-game situations. Who gets the ball? Who's everybody looking at? Why are we overthinking who should shoot? Am I open? Am I going to pass to Tatum or what? And you got Tatum and you got Browns, Brendan, the primary scorer in all these, you know, meaningless games since the All-Star break. Jrue Holiday, he's an afterthought. Heck, Porzingis is your third offensive option. Jrue Holiday is an afterthought. But if you said to me right now, what's our best option? End of game situation, we have somebody going one-on-one. I would tell you it's Jrue Holiday to back his man down into the paint and shoot. He scores all the time when he does that. Like, if there was no help coming, if you just said one-on-one, who's it going to be? Just look at the outcome of games. You can't tell me it's Tatum. Don't tell me it's Tatum. He keeps missing. He missed it Tuesday night against the Bucks. It was going into the fourth quarter, end of third. He does his dumb step-back three. Misses. No, he had been hot. So whatever, go ahead and do that. Just fall back into your old patterns. This is what I said. Don't develop bad habits over the past 3 weeks. And Tatum, he made some threes. He showed fight during the third period against the Bucks. Like, I was cool with this. All right, Tatum, even though it's not our night, the refs, they didn't call a foul. Like, the Celtics did not shoot a free throw Tuesday night. Zero free throws. Heck, the Bucks only shot 2 free throws. They were 1-for-2 from the line. There was only 1 free throw made in the entire game. And you see replays. Celtics guys got absolutely hammered. Xavier Tillman one time going up to shoot, just like, he got his whole body like ripped off almost, and the refs didn't call a foul. They just wanted to get the game over with. And that's fine. I have no issue. I love that the Celtics didn't complain that much. Tatum did a bit early, but then eventually it was like, okay, I see what's going on here. Just stop the complaining. Heck, maybe that was the point of it. Maybe the NBA says, we don't want you guys to be complaining all the time in the playoffs, so here's a little taste of how it might be. That was probably very much intentional. I really hadn't even thought of that until right this very second. But that's what it was. The NBA, they don't want these crybabies on the TV all the time because they understand they're losing market share to the NHL, dude. Like, the NHL on Saturday, I saw the Bruins are playing at 8 o'clock, I believe it's against the Penguins. But there's 2 other games on ABC. There's 3 ABC games on NHL games on Saturday. So ABC is like, dude, we're putting some money into hockey because hockey's more fun to watch than basketball. You know why? Because the hockey players don't all cry all the time. They might cry a little bit here and there. Brad Marchand go over to the ref like, hey, buddy, I just got a cheap shot. And I will say Charlie McAvoy, if you watch him the last few games, he'd take a stick and he'll jab somebody. He will stab a dude in the leg with his stick and trip him. He did it 2 games ago, and then he nailed the guy the last time too. Because he's getting hit a little bit extra hard. And Charlie McAvoy is a tough dude. I love it. He's smart. He doesn't react in a bad way where he's going to get a penalty, but he'd jab somebody. Let him know, like, hey, if you're going to mess with me, I'm going to nail you back. And that's fun. The Celtics and the NBA players, oh man, we just complain like babies. And the NBA knows this. They have to know it. The NHL's more fun to watch. So what do? You clean the crying up. Stop the crying. Jaylen Brown going to be crying if the Celtics don't go to the finals this year because he's going to get traded in the offseason. Jrue Holiday, they're telling him, Drew, you're part of the core. In the playoffs, we want everybody to know you are part of the core. You can take the last shot of the game. We're fine with it. And you should be fine with it too. You know why? We want you here for the next 4 years. Don't defer to Jaylen Brown or anybody. The Sports Machine with Slim will be right back after this commercial break. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. I'm doing some Jaylen Brown research right now. Are they quote-unquote important? Who knows? Celtics have been in first place forever. You know they have an home court advantage all the way through the Eastern Conference. We knew that. I mean, they still have a 14-game lead, 15-game lead in the East. But in the West, I think we're still up by 7 or 8 in total. I will look at that right now while I'm talking to people. But let's just look at the last 4 Celtics games I would consider to have been like somewhat big games. And that was Tuesday night because we're playing at the Bucks. Just, hey, they're the number 2 seed in the East. They're a bit of a rival, right? Giannis, Doc Rivers is over there. You want to beat them. We go at Milwaukee, Jaylen Brown, 7 for 19, 0 for 6 from 3, 5 turnovers. So I rewind back a few days when the Celtics were at home against Oklahoma City. Now, I don't think Oklahoma City is much of a threat. I think they're weaklings. I said this on the taped show that aired yesterday. We did it a month and change ago. My viewpoint has not changed. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is awesome. The rest of his team, like, will be blown over by a strong breeze. They're too thin. And when physical, defensive basketball starts up in the NBA playoffs, Oklahoma City's going home early because they're young and they're weak. But they have a good record. So when they come into Boston, you say, okay, well, we want to beat the second best team, or they might have been even in first place in the Western Conference when they came in. So how's Jaylen Brown do in that game, April 3rd? He was 9 for 20 from the field, 3 for 9 from three-point land. 9 threes he's shooting, this guy. 5 turnovers. So the last 2 big games, 5 turnovers each of those games. Then back it up. We'll say Atlanta, when we played at Atlanta, March 28th. Now, why was that a big game? Because the night before, or 2 nights before, sorry, we had played against Atlanta, and we had lost. That was the game where we had like a 30-point lead and blew it. Right? So the next time you come back and play Atlanta a couple nights later in the same building, like, you want to beat them. You should be upset. You should be embarrassed. You're playing hard. How's Jaylen? And plus, it's Jaylen Brown's hometown area. Like, he's from Atlanta area. So when that happens to you the game before and everybody's talking about it, it's your hometown area. You're hanging around there for a couple days. You want to come out and respond, right? Well, the Celtics lose the next game, as we know, that game as well. And Jaylen Brown, was he 9 for 17 from the field, 0 for 3 from three-point land, 3 turnovers. Last 3 quote-unquote big games, dude combines 3 for 18 from three with 13 turnovers. The best next biggest one before that is March 20th, so a week before, Celtics beat the Bucks at home, 122-119. Remember, we were up a ton and choked at the end, and Jaylen Brown turned the ball over. I can remember he made a few bad plays, actually, down the stretch of that game. What was he? Celts were at home, 6 for 15 from the field. One turnover, 2 for 4 from 3. The point is, Jaylen Brown against good teams kind of stinks. Like, I, this whole time I've been on the radio here, I've been trying to be nice, really, because I wanted the Celtics organization to be coming on and me to be interviewing them. They haven't followed up to my messages, unfortunately. But I'm trying to be nice. Also, because I consider myself to be a pretty nice person in general, I want good things for everybody. But listen, Jaylen Brown, when the money's on the line, dude, I would rather have me shooting than you. And I haven't played competitive basketball now since, like, you know, 7, 8, 9 months ago. This guy is not somebody you want to rely on. He's just not. Sorry. He can talk tough. I like his hair. I love his hair, actually. His hair's very cool, original. I'm a Jaylen Brown fan. But when the money's on the line in these big games, he's a turnover machine who can't make threes. Like, he's useless. He's overlap. But he's the highest paid player in the NBA. So you tell me, you're coming down the stretch of an NBA playoff game. It's game 5, game 6, game 7. And the whole team is like, you know, who's going to shoot these important shots at the end of the game? And if you're Drew Holiday going in, it's like, oh, do I need to pass it to Jaylen Brown? He's kind of open. No, Drew. No, you don't, dude. You don't. I'm speaking on behalf of the entire Celtics fan base. Don't pass the ball to Jaylen Brown. Keep the ball yourself. I'd rather have Drew Holiday shooting big shots at the end of playoff games than Jaylen Brown. And guess what? The Celtics organization would too. That's why they're signing Drew Holiday to this big contract. What's the point? What do you need to sign him now for? Well, you didn't sign him during the regular season. Why? You didn't think he was a good player? You didn't think Drew was a good player during the regular season, like 2 months ago? Oh, you didn't know he works hard? Like, you thought, oh, maybe he's going to stop working hard? Did you watch him play defense at the beginning of the season? Like, he runs around, picks, Drew picks. He doesn't stop. He's Marcus Smart-esque. This dude hustles. It was the first time we played the Bucks. Remember, he started out the game guarding Giannis. And I was screaming, don't do that. Don't put this guy on him just because he can guard him. You don't do that. You don't, Mazzulla, you don't ask him to guard Giannis, who's much bigger than him. It's just not a good thing to do for the whole season. Like, there's no reason we have other guys you can guard. But Drew Holiday is willing to do whatever you ask him to do. You didn't know this 2 months ago? Well, why didn't you sign him to the contract extension then? Didn't you want him to know we want him to be here? Why did you wait for now? I'm like, well, why not now that we're at the end of the regular season? We have 3 games left regular season. Why don't you just wait till the offseason? Like, Drew Holiday's not going to want to agree to be here? So you want to lock him up now? Like, what, if the Celtics win it all, he might be able to get paid more money somewhere else? I guess that's possible. I guess that's possible, but just a year or two ago, which is part of the reason why the Bucks traded Drew Holiday to us, he had said, I think, that he was going to retire at the end of his contract. He didn't want to be in Milwaukee long-term anymore. Why? Because he knew they weren't going to be winning. That's why. Now he comes to Boston. He loves it here. He's willing to sacrifice. He said it just a bunch here in interviews that were aired all over the place here last week, that he doesn't feel like he's being asked to do too much or to be like subservient. He doesn't feel that. He's doing what he wants to do and can do to best help the team. So because he says that in an interview, okay, well, let's re-sign him 4 years, $135 million. No, it's more than that, dude. It's the mindset going in. The team needs to understand this guy is here. We're looking at him as a long-term member of the Boston Celtics. He's the point guard. I'm not saying he's in charge because Tatum's kind of in charge, but Drew Holiday ain't taking a back seat. He's here. And if we don't win at all, sorry, like Jaylen Brown, you're just a problem and you're overlap. You can't, Jaylen Brown, this is doing so good. Dude, did you just not listen to the numbers? I said the last 3 big games we've had, he's had 5 turnovers, 5 turnovers, 3 turnovers. He's 3 for 18 from three-point land. Has he been lighting it up for us in crunch time in the past in big games? How'd he do in the playoffs against Golden State when we melted? How'd he do last year against Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals? It was Tatum that led us back, who won Game 7 for us against the 76ers last year. It was Tatum that dropped 50. Jaylen Brown's a side piece, dude. He doesn't want to be a side piece. He thinks he's better than he is. And if he hears these words and he takes offense, then I would say, then play better, dude, because the statistics, if I could say it, back me up. Not your belief that you're better than you are, dude. Go out and do it. And I hope you do. I'm rooting for him. I like him. But you can't argue with what I'm saying. Jaylen Brown, you're not the man. You're just not, dude. Can you be someday? Maybe, and I hope so. Maybe you need to go somewhere else to do it. But you can't be showing up and going 0 for 6 from 3 with the 5 turnovers when you're playing at Milwaukee. That's the numbers that a stiff puts up. I will say, I sounded a bit like a stiff myself when I re-listened to that NBA playoff preview special that we aired yesterday, a month and change ago, where I said Dallas. I hate Dallas. And they're not going anywhere. They're definitely losing in the first round. That's what I said. I re-listened to it, and I heard this. I said they're definitely losing in the first round. I watched them last night play the Miami Heat, and they blow out the Heat, 111-92. Dallas has now won 16 out of their last 18. And if you watch Luka and Kyrie, they like playing together. And what Dallas has done is put a team of defenders and rebounders around them, like big guys, athletic players. And Luka can get his shot off whenever he wants to. I know the Pistol loves him some Luka. The step back for Luka, it's really a step forward is what it is. He takes that one big step and guys have to back up. And then he just steps that back and he's right into his perfect shooting motion and form. And there's a lot of space to get it off. Luka's a tough guard. And I'm starting to come around a little bit. But they're going to play the Clippers in the first round of the playoffs. The West is going to be so crazy. The NBA playoffs, if the guys stop complaining, will be awesome. So will the fourth segment of The Sports Machine with Slim, which is coming up next here on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester is where you can hear us on the radio. Celtics play the Knicks tonight. Knicks always play hard. Tom Thibodeau, one of the best coaches in the NBA, no doubt about it. He just pushes his guys real hard and eventually grinds them down to the point where they don't want to play for him anymore. But he gets the best out of them for as long as he can. And he's got a group of players on the Knicks with Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, etc. over there that they play hard, and we'll see if the Celtics are ready for that. I'd expect the Celtics maybe go down tonight. Because the Celtics just are in a kind of lazy frame of mindset, I think. I mean, you come out with that effort against Milwaukee the other night. Celtics weren't excited to be there. I mean, they just weren't. And what's wrong with the NBA? I think, of course, they're going to want to see a close game between the Celtics and the Knicks just for TV, right? The refs obviously have something to do with things. Come on. Now, the other night, there were 2 free throws in the entire game. Don't tell me the refs don't have something to do with everything. If you're going to send a message to the players, don't complain. Maybe they do it again tonight and just let it be ultra-physical, and that benefits the Knicks. Because they're tougher than the Celtics are. Or at least they have been through the years, and we'll see if the Celtics are ready to respond. I will say, I've got more NBA talk, but we probably ought to take a second to talk about baseball. It's so boring. But the Boston Red Sox, I flipped over last night in between watching the basketball stuff that I was watching, and I see the Red Sox are up 5-0 at the beginning of the sixth inning. Like, okay, wow, okay, Red Sox lost the the game before yesterday or 2 days ago to Baltimore, and Baltimore's a good team. Well, we come back, oh, we're shutting them out. Good for the Red Sox. There we go, 5-0, going to get a win. No. I switch the channel back to basketball, and then I turn it back over literally 30 minutes later, 25 minutes later, Red Sox are down 7-5. They go on to lose to Baltimore 7-5. The Red Sox stink out loud. Tristan Casas did have a home run. I like him. He's a big dude with some power, and I thought last year he showed some real signs of being incredible. I like the Jaron Duran guy out of the leadoff spot. He's a good hitter. He works the pitch count, and if he gets on base, he's a threat to steal. Obviously, we got Rafael Devers, but besides that, come on. Come on. I mean, the new guy there, the Red Sox were touting O'Neill. I've had him on my fantasy baseball team like 3 years ago when he went through a decent run for the Cardinals. The last couple of years, he's terrible. He's just off to a hot start for the Red Sox. And maybe he keeps it going. Odds are probably not. You can get hot in baseball and just start, you know, hitting the ball all over the place. But once pitchers adjust, once you got to get on a flight and go to a different time zone and things reset, your true characteristics come out. The true characteristics for this Red Sox team, probably like cellar dwellers, baby. I look at the Major League Baseball standings, like what stands out to me. The Western Division, the Houston Astros right now are 4-9. The Rangers are 7-5 to lead the division. They are defending World Series champions. The rest of the teams in that division we know are horrible. The Angels, Mariners, and the Athletics. Heck, the Red Sox went out and had great opening start to the season here by getting to play those stiff teams. But the Astros starting out 4-9, interesting. The American League East, the Yankees are at the top with 10-3 record. Toronto's 6-7. We know the East is pretty good. The Red Sox 7-5, but that's just because we played the horrible teams in the West. What about National League? You see the Braves are out there 7-3. They're hot. You know the Braves are going to be good again. Pittsburgh Pirates 9-3. Wow. Pittsburgh Pirates 9-3. That's the O'Neill Cruz guys over there. My man, he's on my team. Shortstop. And then in the West, the Dodgers 10-5. It's like the same thing every year. The Dodgers, just what an unstoppable force they are in Major League Baseball regular season. Red Sox, I can't talk baseball. I can't do it. They're not putting any money into the team. The ownership of that team expects fans just to show up and cheer them on, even though the owner doesn't care. When an owner doesn't care about its organization, bad things happen. And for me, I'm not paying attention to the Red Sox this year. The Boston Celtics I'll pay attention to, even though sometimes I get incredibly irritated with them. But I love them almost like a child. You gotta go through the tough times, because when you experience success, when your child graduates, it's a great day. When the Celtics eventually win it all, if they eventually win it all. I have to say if, because I don't think the Celtics are gonna win it all anymore. I can't say when. I'm not gonna say they're gonna do it this year. I don't think they're gonna do it. I hope they're gonna do it. I hope my child graduates high school, so I can celebrate that day. Move on forward from there. The NBA, though, how crazy is this, everybody? Let me look at these standings. The updated standings, this is nuts when you think about it. This is how the NBA has done a great job with this play-in tournament stuff. It's almost like there's a sick... I have no idea how they made this happen. But right now, out west, the Golden State Warriors are in the 10th spot. The Lakers are in the 9th spot with just 2 games to play for the Lakers, 3 for Golden State. Sacramento is in the 8th spot. They're up a game in the loss column. So maybe Sacramento loses a couple games, but if things hold the way they are right now, you would have a 1-game play-in next week, I think Tuesday or Wednesday. You'd have a 1-game play-in between the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors. LeBron James against Steph Curry. One team wins and moves on with a chance to play against either Phoenix or Sacramento. And the loser goes home. Can you imagine that? A 1-game scenario where Steph Curry's going against LeBron James. The winner moves on. The loser goes home. For the playoffs in the West? Wow. Wow. Don't forget the Lakers won that in-season tournament to begin at the beginning of the season, December there. The Lakers won the tournament. Now they're in danger of losing the play-in game and going out. Who would you take? The Lakers or Golden State? I mean, right now, Golden State in its last 10 games is 8-2. The Lakers are 7-3. LeBron James and Anthony Davis are saying that, like, he feels good. Except for that eye injury thingamajig. Actually, he was saying he feels good until, I think, the next day after he said that they irritated his eye injury. So I don't know how good he's feeling today. I probably need to ask him. But my goodness, what a game that could be. It's to the point, really, where you hope Sacramento loses a couple of games. Because Phoenix is in the seventh spot. They got 33 losses. And right now, the Lakers and Golden State have 35. So it's two more. So I don't think Phoenix is dropping like three games in a row or two. And I don't know who owns the tiebreakers, whatever. So let's say Phoenix. It's to the point where though you want Sacramento to lose a couple of games. Because I would like to see the Lakers and Golden State both make the playoffs and in the first round play, whether it's Denver, who last night, I don't want to say they clinched. They didn't clinch the first seed overall, but they got a real good shot of it. And, man, the Western Conference playoffs are just going to be absolutely nuts. So it's starting off right from the get-go. And then, like I said, after those play-in games, whatever happens with all that drama, then you might have the Lakers or Golden State squaring off against Jokic and the number one seed Denver Nuggets. Can either of those teams beat Denver? I don't know. I'd like to see the Lakers go against Denver. I think that'd be a pretty fun series to see. Golden State, hey, since Draymond's come back and is, you know, focused on team first instead of starting fights with other teams, they've been playing pretty good. They're 8-2 in their last 10. Sacramento, can they lose two of their last three games? All three games are at home. They're playing tonight on TNT, actually, against New Orleans. Then they play at home against Phoenix. Then they're at home against Portland. They're not going to lose that game against Portland, the last game of the year, if they have to win. And Sacramento's usually pretty good at home. So let's see. They got tonight and tomorrow night against Phoenix. It's just, maybe some people out there like Sacramento. Last year, I did. I thought they were a real fun, interesting team to play, and they were hot. And this year, I guess their record is decent. But I don't see, I just don't think they have the potential to upset like Denver or even Minnesota. Minnesota, I will say, I watched again last night the first period of this game against Denver. Anthony Edwards, I am so right on with this. This guy is out of this world ridiculous. And he's a worker, you can tell. If he puts himself in the gym this offseason and learns to shoot a three-pointer, forget it. Dude, he's definitely going to be your MVP next year, Anthony Edwards. He will be your MVP, and he can take the Minnesota Timberwolves all the way. Just get rid of Karl-Anthony Towns. That guy's an impediment to success. Anthony Edwards just needs to learn to shoot the three so he can take some offensive possessions off. He just is like full throttle all the time, and you're going to wear down in the seven-game series. Good luck to Minnesota, good luck to everybody playing out there in the West. And good luck to you. I hope your day is a good one. We'll be back tomorrow morning, Friday, a little after 10 a.m. to talk Celtics and whatnot. The Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL Radio, 1450 a.m., 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com.